You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
That was the sixth inning sound. That's the sixth inning sound in my house.
Let me give you a real growl. Let me give you a growl. How's that?
That's really A1. That's
A1?
That's a professional growl.
I'm fired up right now, man. Yeah. I'm fired up.
So
come
last
on, good
night.
Job.
Come on, Grinchaw. By the way, that's Jorge's dad last night in the sixth inning. Let's hear him again.
Come on, Grinchaw.
Come on, Grinchaw. Come on, Grinchaw. So it was a very, very disappointing night. Very disappointing. And let's say, first of all, that the Dodgers made this rookie kid look like he was a world stopper. And he was throwing fastballs. He was attacking the zone.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers could not catch up to him no matter what they did. It was an unbelievably slow night for the offense, and that is a critical reason why they lost. But let's go to the sixth inning. Kirsch, third time through the lineup.
Yeah.
Come on, Crenshaw.
Infield single for Acuna, throwing error puts him at second. All right? So, Momo, let's walk through this, okay?
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. So Clayton Kershaw goes out to start the sixth. Infield single for Acuna, throwing error by Kiki.
By the way,
puts
total swinging bunt. That was not a hard single.
Correct.
Kershaw tries to like dive for it.
Yep.
I thought it was actually a really good play by Kiki Hernandez. You just couldn't get him. It was a swinging
couldn't
bunt.
Couldn't get him.
So Acuna's you got just really fast.
Yep. Got a runner at second, nobody out.
Freeman's put that one on him. Yeah.
I don't either. Freddie Freeman's coming up. So yep. Freddie's left-handed. So is Clayton. You could have, and some people think as soon as Clayton Kershaw got Acuna at second, Dave Roberts should have pulled him. No. Freddie Freeman comes up, lefty-lefty.
Lefty-lefty.
Runner on second, and Freeman doubles home a run. Now, at that point, with a string of right-handers coming up,
yes.
Marcelo Zuna and Travis d'Arnaud and Ozzie Albies, three right-handers in a row, that's where you go to the bullpen. That's where you go for your right-handed, situational, high-leverage reliever like Brusdar Graterol. I would have taken out Kershaw one batter sooner than Dave Roberts did. In the end, Graterol didn't have it. Victor Gonzalez didn't have it.
Nope.
Jake McGee didn't have it. The bullpen just came up lame. So we can put all this on Kershaw, and I think it's I honestly think it's fair at this point.
Yeah, I do too.
Momo, the numbers are the numbers are the numbers of all pitchers who have thrown 100 postseason innings. Clayton Kershaw has the highest ERA. That's just flat out fact. He's not this guy.
I was going to try to defend him. I was because
good for you.
I know what it was like when we played in these 1-1 games, and I just always felt really bad as a hitter that we couldn't get any runs on the board for our pitcher. That,
right.
Like, we were putting her in that position all the time. Like, you have to be perfect because we suck. Okay?
Yep.
So I felt bad. And I was like, you know what? This isn't all on Kershaw. The Dodgers had three hits all night. Three hits.
Yep.
Three hits.
But on top of that.
Then you sent me that clip from Alex Rodriguez.
Yes.
Then you sent me Alex Rodriguez talking about what it's like to face Kershaw, what a hitter of his caliber, of Big Poppy's caliber, would be thinking when they get in there to face Kershaw.
One of the things, I'm going to bring you inside the dugout on how Poppy and Big Hurt and I would talk if we were facing a guy like Kershaw. Number one, I remember 95, 3-2 pitch when the Yankees played the Mariners, 150 pitches for David Cone, 3-2 split to Doug Strange and walked them. We will say he'll never give in. If we're talking, Poppy, you and I, we're going to say, okay, give me two scouting reports on Kershaw. And we'll say, okay, make sure nobody's listening. All right, fellas, here's the thing. Back off the plate. Mm-hmm. He's going to throw in, cheat in, and every time he'll throw it there. And then number two, if you get to a 3-2 count, you can swing. He'll never walk you. He does not want to walk you.
Right.
That's very comforting. You just get in swing mode. 3-2 pitch is the pitch that hitters chase the most. If you have a guy that's not willing to walk you, it's just comfortable. You just start your swing, and like that 3-2 curveball to Osuna, if he bounces it, it's a strikeout because Osuna wants to swing.
Right. And so, coming in tonight, 19 strikeouts, one walk, to your point.
You can't let your ego stubborn. Exactly. You got to be able to play poker.
Oh!
So he laid
it
out.
Nailed it.
He laid it out.
Nailed it, man.
That's what you do if you're a batter digging in against Kershaw in a big game.
And when A-Rod is nice, and he's calling it ego.
Sure.
Oh, you can't let your ego get in the way, right, of not wanting to walk somebody. You know what I say? That's fear.
Yeah.
That's fear. You don't want to walk them because then you're like, oh, I put another batter on. Oh,
then there's traffic. Traffic on the bases.
Traffic on the – I got to pitch from the stretch. I got to pay attention. Oh, now they might score 4 runs. Now they might hit a 3-run homer. That's fear. That's not ego. It's fear. And that, to me, is what the Dodgers' problem is right now. They're playing not to lose. They're playing They're playing. I mean, they're so tight. They're so scared.
Yeah, but it was so weird because Momo, they got on that stretch from game 2, the 7th inning on, all the way through last night, the 11-run first inning.
Hey, you know how hard it is to hit when you're up 5-0? Not that hard. There's no pressure on you. Everybody relaxes when they're front running, when they're up 5-0.
We're going to take a lot of calls today because Dodger fans, I think, want to vent. And, you know, I'll just tell you some of the stuff that I'm seeing I have so many Dodger fans on my Twitter timeline. And a lot of people blaming Dave Roberts. It's Dave Roberts' fault that we're in this spot. You could not be more wrong.
No.
You could not be more wrong to blame Dave Roberts.
Ace has got an ace. If you're in Cy Young, you better Cy Young right there.
Hey, if you are Clayton Kershaw and you're facing a rookie pitcher in game 4 of the NLCS, you got to outpitch him. You can't get outpitched by some kid.
You want to know the difference between the kid and Kershaw? Kid's not sitting out there worrying about 10 years of playoff failures.
And legacy.
That he's
not thinking about legacy. He's not doing all that on his shoulders.
You know what he said? It's just baseball. Just me out there pitching.
Yep.
His mind is clear. Like, what's that? What clear the mechanism? His mind is clear. He's not making the moment too big. He's not pitching with any fear. If that kid blows up like the kid did the night before, Kyle Wright,
Oh,
well, no one was expecting him to have a big day.
Sure. And
the series was only
going to be even.
Yeah.
Even if they lost, the series was only going to
be
so
loose.
They were the loose team. They were the one
they were loose.
Yeah.
They're
not expected to win.
Yes. And they're
going
to be
going
even
into that game,
now.
By the way, Momo, I thought Kershaw was going to win that game.
Me too.
I really did. And
he was dealing.
As Morales says, I did go with Kershaw Day. Kershaw Day is permanently canceled.
Yes.
There's no such thing as Kershaw Day anymore because he's just a guy in the postseason.
Come on, Kershaw.
he's a guy that can get you 5. And you can't let him see the lineup for a third time.
This is what baseball does to you. It breaks your heart. Breaks your heart, man. And you know why it does? Because you're always confronted with your own fears and you have to conquer them. And the only time you finally succeed is when you let go. When you're like, when you let it rip, you let it go. And I think that's, you know, I learned that it's something you know, it's something you try to do, and it's so hard to do. The coaches that get their players to do that the best. I mean, Pete Carroll to me was always the best at getting his players to just get out there
and embrace the moment,
in the moment, let it rip, have fun.
That's the big thing. And there's a great story about Pete that I reference all the time. Pete was the head coach of the Jets.
Okay.
And it was some game against New England, and the Jets were pretty good, and New England was pretty good, and they were playing for a playoff spot. And they come to the sidelines, and it's the Jets have the ball down deep in New England territory, and they've got to go for it on 4th and short. And there's a timeout, and Pete gets the team together, and he says, guys, come here. This is what we play for. This is the fun part. This is the moment. Enjoy this. This is something you're going to remember for the rest of your life. Now let's go out there and do it.
I'm going to give you a line. You ready?
Yep.
Pressure is a privilege. Pressure is a privilege. That means you played your whole life for this moment. Enjoy it. When you look back on this moment, are you going to look back and say, oh, I got so tight, man. Oh, I just totally choked. My guts were in shambles, and I squeezed the bat so hard, and I just totally, like, whiffed and popped out. And I mean, Cody Bellinger took strike three.
Yep.
Took strike three. Oh, it was, like, right after they gave up those runs, and then the Dodgers had their lineup, the heart of their lineup, coming back up. And I was like, okay, if they have an answer here, there's a chance. And Cody Bellinger, bat on his shoulder. And I was like, I'm done. I can't. Yeah. So you actually
turned the game off and walked away.
I left it on in the other room.
I got off my friggin' lucky couch.
I went in the other room. I started playing with Daniel. I said, we got to do something different here.
Yep.
We got to walk around, do something different. And I kept checking on it. And then all of a sudden I was looking, I was getting tweet updates. And I was like, oh, it's 8-2. Oh, 10-2. I was just so angry. I couldn't watch the end.
Let me set the stage for this, because first of all, we'll let you know that the Dodgers and Braves will happen right here on 710 ESPN. Game 6 is tonight at 6 o'clock, right after George Nalzie. It'll be Dustin May on the mound versus a bullpen game that will be started by A.J. Minter of the Braves.
Yeah, the Dodgers are going to win tonight, by the way.
I do too. Yeah. I think tonight is night. They're in that spot.
They're in that spot.
Hey, back against – what the hell? Let it fly. What the hell? Let it fly.
And I'm going to give you some inspiration. I'm going to say something that you may never let me back on the show again, but I'm going to give you some inspiration from the most unlikely source. You're going to be mad.
Okay, okay.
But it's going to work.
Can I tell you also that coming up for you this hour on the show, you couldn't – by the way, thank you for being out there. Thank you for listening. I know it's a day that we can all get together and commiserate. Bill Plachke, who wrote a column in the LA Times today – column is Dodgers October nightmare is once again staring them in the face. We'll get Bill in here next and get his thoughts. And then about a half hour from right now, Boog Shambi, who did the game last night for ESPN along with Jess Mendoza, he will join us again in about 30 minutes. And we got all the regular stuff, the scoop and Radio Tinder and lots of your phone calls coming up as we commiserate after another Clayton Kershaw meltdown. Or as George's dad would call him.
Come on, Grinshaw.
Crenshaw. We've got Bill Plachke coming up next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There you go.
Help! Not just anybody. Dustin May. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Momo's in for John today, and it is a day that we all get together and we commiserate after another Clayton Kershaw performance last night that was not for the ages. And joining us right now is Bill Plachke, who wrote his column today in the LA Times, recounting maybe another October nightmare. Bill, how are you, man?
Confused. I just don't know. I've been talking with people all day, all morning this morning. What do the Dodgers do? Where do they go from here? I mean, what happens if they're probably not going to win this series, and what happens then? I mean, what do they do? What moves do they make?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Let's talk about, first of all, they made this kid, Bryce Wilson, look like he was a world beater. What went wrong at the plate for the Dodgers?
They totally should have worked him, worked the count, and the Mookie Betts swung at the second pitch. Corey Seager swung at the second pitch. Oh. And that worked the night before, but against this kid, he needed a different approach. And their approach was they were impatient. They were swinging out of their shoes.
Yep.
They lost their mind, and they didn't show the plate discipline that they've shown in so many other series and against so many other pitchers. They let the kid just throw fastball after fastball, and they kept whacking at him. They didn't work the counts.
Yep.
They didn't. You know, I think he threw 70 pitches in six innings or something.
Yeah.
He barely threw 10 pitches an inning. So they, once again, in October, their plate, senses go completely awry. And Mookie Betts, I mean, that's huge. He's carried this team through the regular season.
I know.
He was terrible last night.
Yeah,
he's been pretty bad in his playoffs, except for that one great moment that started the 11-run first inning. He's been pretty bad in his LCS. So, yeah, and he was there. He's a $400 million guy.
Yeah, right, right.
Hey, Bill, you wrote something last night that rings real true to me, and I think to a lot of fans who, you know, all my friends are Dodger fans, are on group texts, and they're just like, it's hard to keep living and dying with a team that continually breaks your heart. And all this paragraph you wrote, this has happened so much, to expect something different is the definition of insanity, which describes what it feels like to keep believing in these guys. Ooh. I mean,
that's the way it is. And that leads me to my initial question. What do they do now? I mean, everybody's talking today, of course. The first thing everybody's saying is fire Dave Roberts.
Yeah, last night is not on Dave Roberts at all. Do you think, Bill?
No. Well, you know, I thought he left Kershaw in too
one
long.
One batter too long. Shouldn't have let him face Marcelo Ozuna. I totally agree with
you. But it's not Roberts' fault that the bullpen, the next two guys available were two rookies who probably shouldn't have been in a high-leverage situation if they had made a bullpen trade at the deadline, like they should have, like they never do. So that's on Friedman.
But you know what, Bill? I mean, I can second guess, but I actually thought they had the arms to get through this. I really did. I thought, you know, watching, you know, and I watched 45 games this year, and I thought the bullpen had good high leverage arms. Like, I expected Brisdor or Gratterall to get out of that situation. Victor Gonzalez is pretty deadly against left-handers. Jake McGee has been a closer, he gave up a run last night. For whatever reason, it's just not firing. And you can criticize Dave Roberts here, but so what? Roberts left Kershaw in one too many batters. Brisdor Gratterall didn't have it anyway. He wasn't going to deliver for you. So you really can't lay this at the doorstep of Dave Roberts.
I know, and you're right about that. And he has five straight division championships. And if he got fired, he'd get a job in 10 seconds. But what do they do? What has to change? You know, we said they need a big stud October player. They got Mookie Betts.
Yep.
We said they need young pitching. They have young pitching.
Yep.
What has to change? I mean, what can they change? What can they do differently?
You know,
and a lot of people are saying it goes back to just a change of culture, a change of leadership, a change in Roberts, and that would be the point of view of people who want him gone. But
yeah, a lot of fans, Dodger Twitter's really angry, and for some reason, Dave Roberts gets the complete blame for everything that happens during the postseason, and it's just not all his fault.
Here's what gets me is two nights ago, Dusty Baker decided to leave Zach Greinke in a game in exactly the same spot that Dave Roberts left Clayton Kershaw in the game, right? And it works out for Dusty Baker, and everybody's like, yeah, way to show faith in your pitcher. Okay, at some point, your stars got to be stars. They got to be tough.
He did the same thing with Kershaw last year against the Nationals. Yeah. So remember, I mean, he's done the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Kershaw, when he goes, he goes. And some of this has to be put on Kershaw. I mean, this October thing, everybody says all the narratives changed. It hasn't changed. He has the greatest disparity in ERA between postseason and regular season of any pitcher in history, in Major League history.
Yeah, he's got worst earned run average of anybody who has pitched 100 postseason innings.
Season games. Think about that.
At some point, the numbers are just the numbers, and they don't lie.
No, that's true. And so this wasn't even October for him. This was his June. He'd only been pitching for 2 months. He's never been bit. Now, again, I think the bat spasm was bothering him a little bit last night. I think his velocity was down about 2 ticks. So I think he was maybe favoring the back a little bit and didn't want to talk about it. But, you know, nonetheless, so what do you do? So do you trade Clayton Kershaw? No, you can't trade Clayton Kershaw.
No, can't.
You trade, okay, you fire Dave Roberts. You're saying you don't fire Dave Roberts. Okay, you don't fire Dave Roberts. Do you trade? All right, here's one for you. Do you trade Cody Bellinger?
No.
Bill, don't lose your mind on us. Don't lose your mind on us.
I'm just throwing this. I'm throwing it down.
I know it's crazy.
We make a trade for Francisco Lindor and we move Corey Seager over to third base. How about that?
So what's it going to cost to get Lindor?
Well, first of all, you don't have to sign him until after this coming year. But it is going to cost a lot of money to sign him. But they've cleaned the books. They don't owe a lot of money right now. They've got one more year on – I think they have one more year on Jansen and one more year on Kershaw, and then that's it.
Well,
they're
I think
clean.
They probably trade Jansen after this year.
I think they trade him or they release him. I mean, because he's not – he's And he's what a great guy, right? Right, right.
Yep.
Right.
You know what I mean? Oh, the best.
Love
to talk,
the best.
Love to talk Lakers with him every time we see him. But he's just worn out his welcome in there, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
but and I think it'd be good for him, too, by the way.
How about sign Trevor Bauer? Go out and sign Trevor Bauer.
Love that.
Get another starting pitcher in there.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I love that. Now, here's the way the team is constructed, though, and, here's the problem, Bill. You can see how this team is going to be right back in this spot next year and the year after and the year
right,
after
so
because
what,
they've got
so
all these young guys.
So what different has to happen? Something different. What change can he make? Because it is insanity to expect anything different. I felt completely insane last night because I wrote a column 2 days ago saying they're going to sweep the rest of their series.
Yep.
I thought they were going to lose another game in the series. They're that much better than the Braves.
Bill, what would you do? You keep asking the question. What would you do?
Well, it's so tough. And see, also, when you're talking about Roberts and the whole team, you're talking about the pandemic and the shutdown.
Yep.
Yep.
And they would have David Price. Don't forget this. They would have David Price
if it
wasn't shut down.
Yeah.
They would have the best home field advantage in baseball if there wasn't a shutdown.
Yep.
So they'd have. So you think they're going to lose two games at home to the Braves in Dodger Stadium? Mm. The 56,000 people going crazy? No. So
I'm going to make a crazy suggestion, Bill. I think they can come back in this series.
I do too.
Do what?
I think they can come back in this series. I don't think the series is quite over. I do.
I think they win today. Don't you think they win today against Bullpen?
Yes, yes. I think they win today against the Bullpen.
And then they just got to get to Max Fried.
They got to get to Max Fried.
And look, I know what you do different, okay? There's two very big differences between what the Dodgers did this year with their kid pitchers and what the Braves did with their kid pitchers. And the Braves, I don't know if it's genius or necessity, but they had all these injuries, right? Sirocco,
it's necessity.
They had to just throw those guys out there, and they let them go. I mean, Bryce Wilson, he was getting shelled when he first came up. But they just had to stick with him because they had no other options. And I think the difference is the Dodgers have kind of, brought their kids along so softly and slowly and babied them.
Gonsolin hadn't pitched in 17 days.
Yeah.
What did they expect out of him?
You know,
Urias hadn't started in a month.
The time is now, right? Like, you got to just throw the kids out there into the fire. Who cares if they're a rookie? I think they were going to do that with Walker Buehler this year, but he got the blister thing. I don't know if he was sitting too close to Rich Hill
throwing last night. Any idea why he was throwing? Was he going to come in because that was
session? That was his regular side work. He wasn't coming in that game.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Do you do anything considering it's a two-month season, it was a fluky year?
Yeah.
And really, unlike the NBA, baseball doesn't feel like it's going to crown a real champion, if you ask me.
I mean, why do you think?
I'll say it's real. Well, because it's 2 months. I mean, the season was barely here, and playing these playoff games with no home court, home field advantage, and with playing every day.
No fans, yeah.
But would we be saying the opposite if we were up 3-1?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
It'd be a legitimate championship. But legitimate or not, do you make any moves based on what happened in a 2-month season? Would you fire Dave Roberts in June?
No.
It's a great question. And I would not.
Wouldn't.
And I would make an addition, and I really believe the Francisco Lindor idea is my best idea.
Mm.
I think adding an electric player like that is the kind of move that they need to make.
I like the Trevor Bauer idea. I think
Trevor Bauer's a great idea.
Stud
pitcher. The only thing stopping him from signing him is money. They keep spending money? And I think at this point they spend so much, why not keep spending more?
Exactly.
You want to get fans at some point with the Lakers winning like they did, it's just the Dodger fan base is eroding. I mean,
honestly, Bill, it's kind of worse. It's worse because we just came off the Lakers championship. It feels like we anticipated a World Series championship, and we thought we were going to have both. And now the Dodgers look less than by comparison to the Lakers because the Lakers play big in the big moments and the Dodgers don't.
Well, they have, yes. I mean, the Lakers went out and do whatever it takes. They get LeBron, they get AD, they get whatever it takes to win a championship. And people still think the Dodgers maybe haven't done everything they could do in the bullpen. everything they can do in the rotation. Again, of course, the Dodgers, to their credit, they signed Betts. They thought they had done everything.
Yeah. They spent almost $400 million. So you'd think that was their big move.
That was their big move.
Hey, listen, Bill.
It's real perplexing. It's just really perplexing right now.
It really is.
I got one question for Bill. Okay. Are the Dodgers becoming like the Cubs or the Red Sox? Are they breaking their fans' hearts so many times that that's how they're going to get known?
Yeah, I think they're becoming the Buffalo Bills or Atlanta Braves of the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's why I think they have to do whatever it takes. Mortgage everything to win. They just give the fans one. Just give them one.
Need one.
It's been 32
Need
years. Yesterday was the 32nd anniversary of Gibson's home run. give them 32 years. Give them just one. Give them one. Sign Trevor Bauer. Spend money on a couple of high-priced relievers. Just give them one. Go out of your system that does so well during the regular season and chokes in the playoffs. I don't say chokes, but folds in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Leave that.
Gotta get one. I agree with you, Bill.
Just buy one. Buy one freaking championship.
Hey, don't give up hope, Bill. Don't give up hope, Bill. It's a long series. A lot of baseball to be played.
Yeah, 15% chance of winning right now.
I'm glass half full.
Me too.
Glass half full.
I've heard that whole 15% thing before.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, thanks a lot for coming on, man. Bill, we appreciate it. And again, read Bill's column in the LA Times like we always do. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys. See you all.
Thanks,
all right,
Bill.
There's Bill Plaschke, who seems inconsolable to me. He just seems inconsolable.
I know. Bill loves baseball like I do. I think baseball is his favorite sport, too.
I'll tell you what, let's take a break. 877-710-ESPN. We want to give you guys a chance to vent today. What you saw last night in that game, how much is Roberts, how much is Kershaw, how much is that lineup, how much is that bullpen? Where does the blame belong for last night's loss? And if the Dodgers are ousted here, what does it mean? 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. We will get some of your calls coming up, and then in 15 minutes, Boog Shambi is going to join us. He did the game last night for ESPN right here on 710 ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, what is going on? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you. We appreciate you. Momo's in for John. It is it's not the happiest day around here. It's not the happiest day. The Dodgers get pounded last night by the Braves. All of a sudden, we're down in this series 3-1. Clayton Kershaw doesn't pitch like the ace that he does during the regular season. The lineup was stagnant. As they were hacking away at strikes, they weren't working counts, they weren't being patient. The whole night was just a disaster for the Dodgers. And it's a game I thought we were going to win. I thought we had that game.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Mario in Monterey Park. Mario, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Can we just preface this that I'm a Roberts fan. I root for UCLA. My son just graduated from there in June, so I'm a Roberts fan. But let me tell you, okay, there's one thing managing in the regular season, which is a long-term approach, and there's another way to manage in the postseason. And I'm going to tell you another thing. There's somebody that's in the San Fernando Valley right now. He's a Dodger, born and bred. Mike Socha has a heck of a feel for the game. He has his finger on the pulse, and he is a much better game-time manager than Roberts because
hang on a second, Mario. I love Socha. He's a fantastic guy. I don't think he's going to be a manager for the Dodgers. I just don't. But look at last night's game. What would you have done different if you were Dave Roberts?
I would have pulled. Same thing in game four. He left, game three. He left Gosselin in an extra two batters. He left Kershaw in again, extra two batters. This is the same Roberts over and over. He tried to rectify Kershaw and Jansen in the postseason. You don't do that in the postseason. You don't try to build somebody's confidence in the postseason. It's enough already. They've already proven that they're not capable
okay.
of producing in the postseason, so therefore it's time to move on. And again,
wait a minute. So are you would you trade Clayton Kershaw?
I wouldn't trade him. He's a Dodger, but I wouldn't try to rectify his career in the postseason and try to give him an opportunity.
That's an interesting point. Interesting point. Mario, thank you for the phone call. I think that's actually an interesting point. I always get the impression that Dave Roberts is too deferential to Clayton Kershaw, that he wants Clayton, like all of us, we would love yeah. to see Clayton get over this mountain. We mm-hmm. would love to see that. But you've also got to recognize that it's not about coaxing and feeding an ego in the sixth inning last night. It is about doing the right thing to win that game. And I know he said, I don't want to take Kershaw out. I don't want to take him out. He said that. He left him in against Marcelo Zuna. He's putting his trust in him the same way he did last year in mm-hmm. Game 5 of the NLDS when he gave up back-to-back home runs to Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto. He puts too much trust in Clayton Kershaw. He is too deferential of his history and his stardom. What do you think of that?
Well, I think we say that after Kershaw blows it.
Well, we say that every year.
But there's going to be a time. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there will never happen. But, like, David Price had a bad reputation in the postseason until he won.
True.
I mean, you know, there's A-Rod had a bad reputation in the postseason until he won. I mean, there's – with these great players who have to get over these humps, it's like they're great, and then they have to get and then one day they do it. So
right.
it's like, you know, I think the decision is not made based on trust in him. You have to make it objectively. When I was watching Gonsolin, we were all on a text chain.
Yes.
In that time, I mean, it was obvious he was losing command. It was obvious
yep.
he was throwing pitches that were hit. They were in the dirt. They were wild. I was like, oh, it's time to get him out. He's tired. Catman's tired. Get him out. He's had a nice outing, but he's losing command. You have to just look at what the guy's doing. Kershaw, I thought, was losing command a little bit. You could see he was laboring a little bit.
Well, you could make the point that it was just a ground ball.
Yeah.
That he gave up to Ronald Acuna, and the error put him in
a swinging
second.
Bunt. Yeah.
So you don't pull him at that point. Everybody's
no.
like, oh, pull him.
No, I would have pulled him.
You let him play lefty on lefty with yeah. Freddie Freeman. Freeman
I would have taken him out after Freeman. Yeah.
And I would have taken him out after Freeman also.
But it ended up not mattering because the bullpen didn't have it.
Yeah, right? Gratterall wasn't good. Yeah. Victor Gonzalez wasn't good.
And at the end of the day, you're putting too much pressure on a guy. Like, for all we know, that Clayton's back may have been totally jacked up in that start.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, he's 3 days after back spasms. That's not a lot.
Let me sneak one more phone call in here, and then we're going to get to Boog Shambi coming up. Solomon, Lake Balboa. Solomon, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Yeah, hey, guys. Well, I think, Momo, you just made the point. If the back was bothering him or he didn't come off his normal routine and he's struggling, just pull him. I'm sorry. Dave Roberts has a habit, not just with Kershaw. When a pitcher's in a groove, he pulls him. When a pitcher's struggling, he tends to leave him in. Why? If that's upstairs and that's stupid analytics, they need to burn those papers and start to manage games in the moment.
Yeah.
And what you're looking at, you do the smell test and the eye test, period. I am tired of this. If he's a pawn for upstairs because that's how they see games happening, it's got to stop. Maybe if that changes, you'll see some wins for the Dodgers.
All right. Thank you, Solomon. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, it's upstairs. Burn the analytics. You can't burn the house down. You just can't. We'll get Boog Shambi in here next. Again, the Dodgers down 3-1 in the NLCS against the Braves, and we've got that game coming up for you today. NLCS game number 6, must win. Dodgers backs against the wall. It'll be Dustin May versus a bullpen game for the Braves, headed up by A.J. Minter. And again, we got that game coming up for you at 6 o'clock. Mason in Ireland coming up next for you. The guy who called the game last night for ESPN, Boog Shambi, is going to join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland, what is going on? The Dodgers are now down 3-1 in the NLCS. Oh, last night, Bryce Wilson looked like a world beater. Clayton Kershaw looked altogether human once you got to the sixth inning. And the Dodgers just hacked away all night and were not successful. I think we're going to talk to Boog Sciambi in a minute here. Oh, he's here. Cool. Boog Sciambi joins us right now. He called the game for ESPN, and we'll have the game again for you tonight here on 710 ESPN, 6 o'clock first pitch. Boog, welcome. How are you?
Wow, I love the applause. That's awesome. I'm really excited about that.
That's the only enthusiasm we can muster around here because it is a disappointing, disillusioning day for all of us Dodger fans. What went wrong last night?
I mean, Kershaw, I think, was left in too long. And then I would also say, you know, look, I give credit to Bryce Wilson for sure, but this is the best offense in the game. You got to score against this guy. And he pitched great, but, you know, to me, it's on that lineup has got to do something against a kid that has, you know, 40-some-odd big league innings that had never pitched in the playoffs before. I mean, this is a lineup that supposedly demolishes fastballs, and he came at him with fastballs last night, and they didn't hit him.
But what was going on? I mean, was the wind anything? Was it the elements? Like, I don't know what happened to the Dodger bats. I think
the wind was definitely a factor, but obviously, you know, like it was bothering both sides. So I don't know how you can make the case that it was more problematic for the Dodgers, but yeah, it was a factor. I think, you know, the one thing with it last night is it was getting in guys' eyes, both pitchers and hitters. Park plays really big for the most part. And with the roof closed, it plays even bigger. So I think that they're interested in keeping it open so that it plays, in a general sense, more neutral. But last night it did seem like, at least early on, it was a little aggressive with the wind.
So, Boog, let's go through that sixth inning because I want to know when you would have pulled Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw starts. This is his third time through the lineup, faces Acuna. Infield single, swinging bunt, error puts him on second. You're okay with him starting the inning, right?
I'm okay with it, but I'd also say this, that we're at a point now where the conversation needs to change. Like, the one problem with doing, and this is so not talk showy, so I get it. I've done enough talk radio, but...
Yeah, where's your hot take? Give us a hot take, Boog.
But Mace, I'm saying... The problem with this conversation is we keep having the same conversation that we had 6 years ago, and the player is not the same. You're not talking about the guy that throws 95 in his prime that could give you 115 pitches in an outing and just mows people down. He's still very good, but, like, he's not – the number one of the ones anymore. So we keep holding this conversation like it's still back in 2014, and it's not. So, like, there's
so Boog, that. Boog, Boog, so, you would say don't let him face the lineup for the third time.
Correct. Yeah, I think that that's the thing that you got to look at. And if you want to push me more specifically, I'm even okay with Freeman. But once Freeman comes, you know, comes through.
Why let him face Ozuna? Yeah.
So, at this point, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't have. I mean, I think that if you took him out and brought in the guy that throws a bazillion, I'd also. Can I just throw this other point in there to get a tiny bit nerdy? This team's great. Okay, if there is one thing in my opinion that they're not great at, like, it is an elite level defense. It's an elite level run prevention group. They have elite power, elite strike zone discipline, elite contact. The one thing that they do not do elite as a group, and that is have a pitching staff that strikes people out. And that is a little bit of a problem. So you have this guy come in, and the guy that's pitching tonight, the same deal. The ball is in play. Their stuff is nasty. But, like, Bruce Dark Grotterell averages 5 strikeouts per 9. He throws 101. Yeah. I personally believe in today's game, you need guys that are going to strike people out more frequently. They were 12th in the majors as a staff in strikeout rate. That's above average. That's not elite level. And if you look at the teams that have won the last 5 years or so, or at least the teams that have gotten to the World Series, they strike people out.
Boog, have you talked to Dave Roberts yet? Have you talked to any of the Dodgers? You know, done your pregame chats with them and stuff? And do you have a feel for how they woke up today? And just
We haven't talked to Doc yet. It'll be in an hour, probably a little more than that, actually. But I don't really have a sense. I will tell you this: Ramona, you know this. Like in this sport, like the men, or it's every day, and athletes turn the page the way baseball and softball players turn the page. I mean, like the Braves were so emotionally shelled from getting thumped in Game 3, and look what happened last night. You know what I mean? Yeah. It over and over again, they just turn the page. And I understand we're all human, but the nature of this sport being every day, and we are inclined to the narrative like they're going to be in the clubhouse lighting votive candles today, and it's just not going to be that way. It's just not. And the way it's going to play is if they come out and, you know, light up Minter, then things will start to go well, and they're really going to be forgetting about the way things went last night. If they score one run over the first six innings, yeah, they're going to start to be like, wow, this is happening a lot.
Boog Sciambi is with us. He's calling the game, Dodgers-Braves tonight, 6 o'clock right here on 710 ESPN for ESPN. So Bill Plotsky just asked an interesting question. He was on the show a minute ago. He said, but what do you change? If this goes down in if it crashes and burns again, what do you do different? What do you think?
You mean like what do you do in terms of roster manipulation?
Correct. What changes do you – like a lot of people in Los Angeles want Dave Roberts gone, my Twitter time, and I think that's ridiculous. I think the idea of removing Roberts is ridiculous, but he's getting an awful lot of blame for it. But what changes would you even consider?
I mean, look, I think that the thing you got to look at is, I think it's arms. I don't think it has anything to do with offense. I think you just keep running that group out there, at least for me. And like to me, I think that you look at, you need, look, I think you need. And this is hard because this is not how they roll, but they need like a blood drain out of your face type, you know, 15 strikeout per nine type guy coming out of that bullpen. I think a couple of them. And then to be honest, and I know this, but if you want to look at paying Trevor Bauer $40 million to pitch a season for you, I would look at that.
Yeah. That's exactly what Plotsky suggested, actually, was the idea of trying to signing Trevor Bauer. It's a great idea. Do you think they're dead or do you think they can come back in this, Boog?
I think they can come back. Can I make a point on the Dave Roberts thing? And I'm sure that nobody thinks about this, but the one point that I would make, and because you lost, you don't think of it this way, but it, like this to me sums up managing in the postseason. Last year in Game 5, you guys are all familiar with it.
What
happened with Kershaw.
Yep.
But there was a huge moment in that game. The Dodgers were up 3-0, okay?
Yep.
And they went to the top of the fifth, and the 7-8-9 was due up with Strasburg pitching.
Uh-huh.
And 7-8 got on, and Dave Martinez let Steven Strasburg hit. Down 3-0 in an elimination game.
Wow.
I cannot articulate to you math-wise. Well, I mean, you can't give me we need to cover innings. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
Like, you have to hit right here. He let him hit. And they won.
Yeah.
Won. So, like, I mean, like, you want to try and put yourself in a position to make the right moves and that type of thing. But, I mean, that one last year was as for me. And Dave Martinez did a lot of great things, and he led that team, et cetera. But, like, that was egregious. And they still won.
And they still won.
He actively lessened their chances to win that game at that moment.
So you can do the wrong thing and win, and you can do the right thing and be wrong.
Yeah. That you said it better than me. That's why you're better than me.
Was Strasburg dealing? Like, was he unhittable at that moment? I mean, I guess it was 3-0, but was he? Did he still have it?
Well, I mean, he'd given up a 2-run homer to Muncy and a solo homer to Kike. So Ramona, you can't even look at it that way. He could have retired 12 in a row, but that's your chance.
Yeah, you pinch hit for him with two runners on. There's no question about it. Yeah,
you have to figure out how are we going to score, because even if he keeps putting up zeros, if it stays at, like, your only thought at that point is how do we score? Because if it was 0-0, then we could engage in the conversation of leaving him in. But you're at that point, in the fifth inning, your thought isn't how do we continue to prevent runs? Because at that point, you're going to lose if it stays as is.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Boog, anyway, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it. We're hoping for a miracle. We're hoping for a miracle here.
I know. Can I tell you something? They absolutely could do it. I mean, told me we're going to game 7? Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
This team's great. And I know that's hard. I know that it's been a hard – you guys are dying for it. I get it. But, this team can do it. There's no question about it. This team can do it. Yes.
All right. Cool. Hey, listen, Boog, have a good time on the call. You've been doing a great job. We're carrying the game tonight at 6 o'clock here on 710 ESPN, and we will be listening, man.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks, Boog. There's Boog Sciambi, who's calling the game tonight. And I guess I just feel kind of, we're going to do the scoop in a minute here. But there's that expression, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. As a Dodgers fan, and I've chased this team all around the country, I was at all those Boston World Series games, all the Houston World Series games, I've been in St. Louis and stood there and watched Kershaw, after he gave up 6 runs in the 7th inning. And it's for me, just personally, I'm on sports talk radio, all that stuff, and I'm a fan before I'm anything. And last night was just heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking because I want Kershaw to do well, right? I want that guy to punch through and get that monkey off of his back and solidify his legacy. And so I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry that
he was
in
sitting
this
there
spot
on the chair and
for the rest of the
back
game,
and he's just looking. Yep, and his feet are out, and he's like looking at it. His hat's back, and I was just like, oh. Poor guy.
All right. We will get to more of your phone calls coming up. So we're letting you vent today. So we'll do that coming up. But first, we're going to do the scoop. All the stuff in sports that we haven't talked about yet. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.